top EMS safety concerns, school nurses get Narcan, and the Medic Cast turns 10. Plus, we'll have an interview with my special friends about EMS paramedic novel that I wrote, Extreme Medical Services. If that's what you're looking for, you found it right here on this week's episode of the Medic Cast.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
This is the Medicast, a podcast for EMS providers by EMS providers, featuring EMS news, products, tips, tricks, and commentary. So grab your gear and glove up. Here's today's show with the Podmedic, Jamie Davis.
Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of the Medic Cast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Podmedic. It's great to have you all here joining me, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's program. We've got a great show for you. In the EMS news items we're going to be looking at this week, I have an interesting article I found on top EMS safety concerns that providers and supervisors might have. Then we're going to have a special tip segment where I get interviewed for a change. Chris Montero, the geeky medic, sat down with me and my book editor, Sam Bradley, to talk about my EMS paranormal novel, Extreme Medical Services. Find out how I came up with the idea for the book and what I'm doing next for the new novel in the series that's coming out in just a few weeks. We'll find out later on in the show more about that after the news. Before we get to that, though, let's go ahead and make sure that you're doing a couple of things. You need to check out the links and additional information available for you over at the MedicCast blog. So head over and check out MedicCast.com/blog. There's a show notes link at the top of the page. You can click that link and find the most recent episode. You can scroll down there and find previous episodes. There's also bunches of articles I post throughout the course of a week, so you can look there and see what I've been writing about. But take some time and make sure you follow up on the information you hear me talk about in the show each week so that you understand how you need to apply it or not apply it to your own EMS practice and protocols. If you do want to get back in touch with me, I'd love to hear from you, and make sure you do so. Please email me at podmedic@mac.com. Shoot me an email with your comments or questions on an episode. Maybe you want to give me a suggestion or an idea for a future episode, but I will get back to you. I respond back to every email that comes in, and I'll get back to your email as well, so please keep them coming. Also, I'll be recording interviews in the physio control booth at EMS Today at the end of this month, and that's going to be at EMS Today in Baltimore. So I want to meet you, so come by, say hi, check out the amazing EMS patient care tools from Physio while you're there, and stop and see what I'm interviewing about, and then come up and introduce yourself to me when you see me finish up the interview. I want to meet you, and I want to make sure that you are coming up and saying hi. That's it. We'll go ahead and get on into the news items for EMS. They're coming right up. First up in the EMS news this week, let's take a look at how EMS agencies and leaders are taking a hard look at safety for patients and providers in the next year. I found an article over at EMSworld.com about a report coming out of the Center for Patient Safety, CPS, that looks at 10 of the top safety concerns facing EMS in 2016. The goal of this new report on patient and EMS provider safety is to build a better awareness of common and uncommon safety concerns and to encourage a culture of safety in EMS organizations nationwide. You know, over the last 10 years, the CPS has encouraged EMS providers to work towards a safer working environment for both themselves and their patients. EMTs and paramedics across the country encounter working conditions and work cultures that negatively impact patient safety every day. The CPS came up with the hashtag EMS Forward campaign to build on existing EMS safety programs and draw attention to things that providers and organizations can do to improve on safety in the field. The 10 topics included in the EMS Forward program include airway management, behavioral health encounters, ambulance and medevac crashes, medical device failures, medication errors, mobile integrated healthcare or community paramedic programs, pediatric safety with patients, and a general safety culture, as well as the transition of care to the hospital and other care providers. Now, all these things have been things I've talked about here on the show for years. So why do many of these items keep cropping up year after year as continuous EMS safety concerns? I think it's probably because of a lack of culture in safety culture specifically in organizations where errors and mistakes are not treated as opportunities to learn, but are treated as opportunities for disciplinary action on behalf of management and medical directors. While safety culture is seen as one of these items, I think it really is the overarching concept that encompasses all of the other items on that list. Talk with your leaders about building an appropriate and fair culture of safety in your organization where you can feel comfortable reporting errors and mistakes and safety issues. If you haven't already taken steps to do that, maybe it's time to step forward and bring that up. Safety is something I talk about each week, and it's not just about scene safety, it's about patient safety, safety back at the station, and even safety when we are at home. So build your own culture of safety in a way that your practice will be able to use it, and you'll go far. Next up in our news, let's take a look at a new law enabling naloxone to be deployed in a new location for opioid overdoses we might see in the field. You know, we've seen more and more of these type of programs over recent years. We've seen police officers, fire departments, community groups, lay people all getting access to Narcan in the overdose arena. For Pennsylvania people, there's a new law that's going to allow new place for these drugs kits to be distributed. School districts in the state will now be able to distribute naloxone kits to school nurses to administer when they have students or visitors they suspect of being in the midst of an opioid overdose. School administrators and security guards are also being trained in the use of the kits and how to identify a potential student at risk for dying from overdose without the drug. Now, after one school district applied to equip their school nurses with the drug, Governor Tom Wolf actually saw that it was a good idea and enacted a direction to all the state's 500 school districts that said, hey, you can get these drug kits for your school nurses as well. It made sense. The naloxone kits would not just be used for students, but for others who use the school facilities and attend functions, like spectators, parents, family members, visitors who might also struggle with addiction. This is in response to problems Pennsylvania's had with opioid and heroin overdose deaths across the state, especially in rural areas. We know how effective this drug is for our overdose patients, and the relatively few side effects make it a very safe drug to disseminate for widespread use by other providers, medical professionals, and trained laypeople in the public sector. I urge you to consider pushing for a similar initiative in your state as well. Pennsylvania is headed in the right direction with this particular program. Don't let your state be the last to enact this type of life-saving initiative. Finally, in our last news item this week, I want to wrap up on a personal note. You know, a lot of you have been following the MedicCast for a long time, and a few of you out there have maybe been with me since the very beginning and episode number one. This month, the MedicCast officially turns 10 years old. I posted the first episode of the show the first week of February in 2006. I didn't know where it was going to take me or what the response would be, but my goal was to put out a show that would address a hole I saw in the podcasting space when I went looking for an EMS podcast that would help me stay up to date on EMS news, topics, and training. There was just another EMS show out there at the time called EMS Live. That was from podcasting pioneer John Bignell from Nova Scotia. Now, while that show was the first and certainly paved the way, the MedicCast over the years has become the one to last the longest and is now the longest running medical and health related podcast out there. I have nearly 500 episodes of the main show, over 100 other interviews and short subject episodes under the MedicCast Live and MedicCast TV names. Since then, I've added other shows to my list, among them, of course, The Nursing Show, The Disaster Podcast in partnership with Paragon Medical Education Group, and The Innovations in Patient Care Podcast that I do in partnership with Physiocontrol. My shows have been downloaded over 6 million times in the last 10 years, and I'm grateful for that. I receive countless emails and messages over that time frame from listeners who've told me how the show has helped them do things like pass their classes and pass their NREMT test, become a better EMS provider and healthcare professional. The long and the short of it is that I couldn't do this without the continued support of you, the loyal MedicCast community. You guys send me ideas for future episodes. You come on the show as my guests when you have something you want to share with the rest of the group. And that's great. Ultimately, you are the reason I do the show week in and week out. So I want to take this opportunity to thank you for the continued support you give to the show. the sharing you do of episodes where you say, hey, you got to check this out with other EMS providers you know, has continued to grow the audience for the show, and I appreciate it. So here's to another 10 years here at the Medicast. I hope you'll stay with me on this ride, and let's see where the next 10 years takes us as we continue to build on this project together as a community. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you all for the continued support. Extreme Medical Services is the EMS-focused urban fantasy novel I wrote and published back in September 2015. Chris Montero, the geeky medic, interviewed me and my editor, Sam Bradley, about the book at EMS World Expo and wanted to know how I came up with such a fun topic and story arc for the readers. It's a story of a new paramedic who gets assigned to a mysterious station on the outskirts of his city that responds to provide EMS care to creatures of myth and legend. I thought it would be a good time to talk about this and release this special interview because I'm going to be releasing the second book in the series in just a few weeks. It's called The Paramedic's Angel. It'll be out for readers at the end of February, just in time for EMS Today in Baltimore. So here's that interview segment with Chris, Sam, and I at EMS World Expo, recorded in the Physio Control podcast studio.
Hi, Chris Montero here for as a special segment to the Medicast, and we're here at EMS World Expo 2015, and I'm pretty excited to roll out something that I didn't know Jamie had a talent for, quite honestly. So I'm joined by Jamie Davis, the pod medic. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
And I'm also joined by your editor.
I don't have any talents. I don't know where it came from. I really don't, but.
Well, we're here today to talk about your new book, Extreme Medical Services, but we're gonna talk about that. Sorry I didn't read it. I didn't have people to read it for me before, but we're gonna dive into what it's about. So what was your inspiration to kind of write a book, write a novel even?
Well, a couple of things. I'd had this kind of strange idea floating around in my head for a paranormal focused EMS novel, and I kind of took that idea and this past year in November, which is National Novel Writing Month, I was challenged by somebody to write 50,000 words or better novel in 30 days.
Wow.
And I took this idea that I had rattling around in my head and I wrote about 2,500 words a day until I was done. And I hit about 65,000 words when the novel was finished, and it turned into Extreme Medical Services. And the concept is this. You know, all these paranormal stories on television and in novels, different things out there, all have this premise that living amongst us, without us knowing it, are all of these mythical creatures of legend, right? So, and I thought, well, if they are really living among us, who do they call for 911?
Right.
Hence, Extreme Medical Services. Those paramedics that have to treat people that they don't know what they're going to run into. So you have to be creative, you have to be adaptive, you have to take human physiology and adapt it to a whole other set of standards and thoughts. And that's what Extreme Medical Services is.
So here's the book. I'm going to show that on the cooking shot here. You know what? Two things I like about this. First off, it's a book. It's an actual book. I know you have it on electronic media, things like that, but it's an actual book. You can smell it, you can taste it, you can lick it if you wish. No, don't lick it. But tell me about Dean Flynn. Tell me about his character development and where he came from. Where did he pop out of?
Dean Flynn is that super medic, that kid that comes out of paramedic school. In this novel, it is an associate's degree paramedic program, because I think that's important.
Okay.
And I think that's something that needs to happen. So I wrote it in the world that I think is the appropriate place for paramedics.
So it truly is fiction.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing about creating your own
world. So Dean is this brand new paramedic who's the top of his class, and he thinks he's going to get the pick of the assignments in his city where he's going to work. And he's thinking he's going to get everything that's going to be handed to him on a silver platter because he's the medic who knows it all. He's come out of school. Who hasn't been there, right? We think we know everything when we come out of school. And he gets sent to this obscure station he's never heard of called Station U. And he's like, what is this? It's in an industrial park in the backwoods part of the city. And he doesn't know what he's getting himself into. He's got this crotchety paramedic named Bryn who doesn't want to have a new partner, but ends up having a new partner. And she complains about him incessantly, calls him Proby. And the first call they go out on is a werewolf in diabetic crisis with low blood sugar.
Who starts to change as a sugar drop.
Because what makes a werewolf change? when they have altered mental status. So what makes
and
altered mental status?
Is blind
low blood sugar.
Oh my gosh,
he ends up seeing this creature change in front of him while his partner's wrestling with this creature, and he's supposed to try to figure out how to give this thing glucagon in the middle of it.
So I'm sensing a thing. Vampires hypovolemic?
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe vampires have lethal arrhythmias all the time. Maybe a vampire in a normal rhythm on a heart monitor for a vampire should be V-fib. If you see runs of if you see runs of sinus tachycardia, they're about
to die.
So Sam, you are an author as well. You are an accomplished author. So what made you want to edit his book?
Because I know Jamie and we're friends, and I thought this might be fun. I wanted to know what came out of his head. And when I started reading it, I saw a whole side of Jamie I didn't realize, and he's a very quirky dude, man. But the characters, I have to tell you a little bit about my favorite character. He's like an ancient vampire who presents as a 45-year-old paunchy dude that has trouble finding a girlfriend. And he finds this girlfriend, and he's trying to impress her, and she loves Twilight. Well, Twilight, I had not watched that, but I guess the vampire glitters. Well, he decided to put glitter on himself. Well, he didn't realize he's allergic to it. So when the girlfriend comes out of her work, here's the ambulance, and he's full of hives and whatever else. And I felt so, I love this character. He's ever present, but this poor guy, you know, what do you do when you're a 600-year-old vampire that can't get a girlfriend? And I just, and his story gets weirder and weirder, but I said, where did he come up with these characters? What goes through the mind of a paramedic when they can create their own world? Well, right here. And that's just one example. And this poor guy, this lead character, doesn't get much of an introduction to this other than when he's right dead in the middle of it and trying to figure out what the heck's going on. It's just amazing. You have to get, anybody in EMS will laugh their way through this book.
Nice.
Because you'll pick up on things maybe the regular world won't, but there's some key things in there that EMSers will
really enjoy. Chris, was, you know, we've all been there. When we all came out on the street in the beginning, we thought we knew everything, and we got thrown to the wolves. Our clinicals didn't prepare us for it. Our ride-alongs didn't prepare us for it. We got thrown out there with our preceptor, and we are just thrown into it, and nothing prepares us for that. Dean Flynn's no different. Just because his patients are completely different doesn't mean that he doesn't have the same problems that every brand new paramedic has.
So, you know what I like about this, though, is you've taken something you know well. You know paramedicine, you know medicine well, and you've turned it into something really cool and different. And I think that's really very unique. So it's a fast read. It's only 138 pages, very small.
About 65,000 words, a small novel.
I mean, it's great. And you have plans for maybe
There's already a sequel. I'm already about halfway through the second book. There's going to be at least three.
Wow.
I've already planned it out that far. I hope to have the second book out in time for Christmas.
Very cool.
Because people are clamoring. They got to the end of the book, and I've been hearing from people already.
Cliffhanger at the end.
I can't believe you did that. When's the next book
coming
out?
Can I read the last sentence to everyone? No, I'm teasing. I won't do that.
I don't even know.
I won't do that, too. So, Jamie, where can people pick up a copy of Extreme Medical Services?
So if you want an actual physical copy of the book, you can get it over at Amazon.com for the physical copy of the book. If you'd like the copy of any of the e-books, any of your e-book services out there, so Amazon, iBooks, Kobo, Nook, Barnes & Noble, any of the e-book services out there have it available. If you are on an ebook service that doesn't make it available, email me, podmedic@mac.com, and I will make it available there. I think I've got it everywhere, but I'm sure there's some places that don't have it. So
I've heard for a special price, you'll actually sign it.
Yeah, and I will send you a signed copy if you'd like that. Just request it. I'll work out payment with you, and I'll ship it to you. So it's not a problem.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Sam. I appreciate
it.
Great book. I can't wait to read it.
ExtremeMedicalServices.com.
I haven't even got my own copy yet. I'm Chris Montera, and thanks for joining us on this special edition of the MedicCast from EMS World Expo 2015.
That's going to wrap up this week's episode of the MedicCast. I want to thank all of you for checking out the show this week, and of course, remind you to follow up on all of the information you get in this week's show over at the MedicCast blog. That's at MedicCast.com/blog. Over there, you'll find a show notes link at the top of the page. Go ahead and take a moment and follow up on all of the information and links to news items and more you find there each week. You can also sign up for our email newsletter that'll bring you those links directly into your email inbox each week if you want. There's a form on the right-hand side of the page. Just go ahead and fill that out and you can get the MedicCast newsletter for yourself. I also welcome your comments and suggestions by email. So if you want to get back in touch with me, shoot me an email to podmedic@mac.com. Send in your ideas for news links, ideas for future show topics or interviews, whatever comments you might have. I really do look forward to hearing from you, and I'll make sure I get back to you. I work hard to respond back to every email that comes in, so please keep those emails coming. If you want to catch up with me on social media and some of the pages and sites out there, you can find me at most places under the handle PodMedic. So you can catch me over at Twitter at twitter.com/PodMedic or Facebook at facebook.com/PodMedic. Friend or follow me over there. Also, don't forget to check out our MedicCast Facebook page. We now have over 5,000 followers, so head over to facebook.com/MedicCast. Click the like button on the top of the page and join the community over there. That's going to wrap up this week's episode of the MedicCast. Please make sure you spread the word and share the MedicCast with your colleagues and students and friends in the EMS world. I'll be back here each week with new episodes, new interviews, news items, tips, and more every Monday morning to start off your EMS week. Tell somebody else about the MedicCast today. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. It's time to close out the show. Don't forget to thank our sponsors. And remember, folks, scene safety, BSI.